TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us. Let's go to the phones this morning and talk to Dennis out in Goose Creek. Dennis, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you have any information on what we're expecting for an influx of people for this eclipse coming up on the 21st?
Well, I know this. Pretty much the hotel rooms here in Charleston have been basically sold out for the past year for that weekend coming up on the 21st. So I would imagine we're going to have quite a few people in town just for this eclipse, because it's one of the last places in the country that you're going to be able to see it. I think McClellanville is actually going to be the last place in North America where you're going to be able to view the eclipse. So, in fact, NASA is doing a live television thing on their website. They're going to be doing that from the College of Charleston. So a lot of folks are going to, well, first of all, we're, you know, the number one city in North America, number two in the world, and you got the eclipse going on. And not only that, Dennis, to complicate all of that, that's also one of the big weekends that the College of Charleston students are going to be moving in. So we're going to have plenty of folks in town for it.
Are we going to have road closures because we're going to be in darkness for a while? Or
no, I mean, it's like no. I mean, but for no reason than, you know, no more reason than they would close the roads down at 9 o'clock at night when it gets just going to get dark. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that are going to freak out, but still, not
with all with the heavy of an influx of people.
Well, they are expecting now. They are expecting a lot of traffic jams, and one of the I forget who was talking about it. Yeah, I think it may have been Rob Fowler saying pretty much you wherever you're planning on going on the day of the eclipse, you need to get there very early because a lot of people are going to be out on the roads trying to get to these eclipse viewing events. So I would make my plans right now and go ahead and make sure that we are that you are where you want to be. Probably, I don't know. I don't know how many hours they're telling you to get there early, but it's August 21st. It's going to be a hot day, right?
Yes.
So be careful out there. Dennis, I appreciate you calling in, and make sure you've got those sunglasses. Now, when we're talking about totality for the eclipse, I'm looking at some of the places here in South Carolina. In Belton, they're going to get 2 minutes and 37 seconds of totality. Bono is going to get 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Charleston, we are looking at, let's see here, 1 minute and 33 seconds of totality. Columbia will get 2.5 minutes of it. And I think the folks that are going to get the most totality here in South Carolina are going to be in Salem. They're going to be getting the most with 2 minutes and 36 seconds. And they tie with Honea Path with 2 minutes and 36 seconds. So that's about what you're going to get. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. Walhalla. The bustling metropolis of Walhalla will get 2 minutes and 38 seconds of totality. So they will actually have more than anybody else here in South Carolina.
You know, Charlie, aren't you amazed how scientists can figure out that? They know exactly when the eclipse is going to be here.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
know exactly how long it's supposed to be, depending upon your location.
Right.
I wish I would have done better at math.
Because, yeah, absolutely. Now, 100 years ago, I don't know if you guys have seen this on Twitter and on Facebook, but 100 years ago, 99 years ago, when they had the last coast-to-coast eclipse,
yeah,
it's amazing to go back and read what the Post and Courier 100 years ago was saying about it. They said basically the same thing that you just said, that it's amazing where the human intellect has gone, that we can actually predict when these eclipses happen and the totality of it. So it's a pretty amazing thing. However, and people are, you know, like we had Dennis just call in, it's just going to get dark. That's it. I mean, and all the things that happen at dark are going to happen. You know, the animals are going to start getting ready for bed, and they say you'll be able to hear. Now, remember, it's been a long time since we've had a total eclipse, but the crickets will start chirping, and they'll think it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes and 38 seconds later, you're back in the sunshine.
Yeah, but the street lights will come on.
Right, street lights will come on and all that, but it'll be it will be fascinating to watch. Absolutely fascinating to see this thing because, again, I've never seen a total eclipse. Never, ever, ever. I remember an eclipse that happened when I was in grade school, but I don't know if that was a total eclipse. I remember it was totally cloudy that day, and we didn't get to see a whole lot.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
It would be, and they are saying there's a 52% chance of clouds that day. Well, that pretty much covered their rear ends on that one, right? Well, we got a 50-50 shot at this thing, just like, what, every other day?
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
I think I was watching Tucker night before last, and which is about the only television I watch right now. There was a ad for Applebee's. When was the last time you went to Applebee's? A long time for me. Long, long time.
I hadn't gone, I don't think, almost ever. And then
really?
We went about a month ago.
Well, we had one open in Augusta, and it was packed for about 3 or 4 months. You could not get in because Augusta. So we didn't have a whole lot there. They're offering this thing called the Topped and Loaded Meal, where basically you get two entrees and they just put one on top of the other. So you get like a sirloin steak with bacon, beer, cheese on top of it, or a bone-in pork chop with Cajun shrimp. That sounds pretty good. Or a chicken breast with cheese sticks on top of the chicken breast. But if you look at it, it's only 750 calories. So it's not that bad. However, the folks at the Center for Science in the Public Interest always tries to ruin your year by giving out its extreme eating awards to the least healthy things the chain restaurants are serving around the country. I've always looked at these as kind of like a to-do list. I'll just tell you that right now. So here are this year's winners of the worst thing you can get at a chain restaurant. Up at the Cheesecake Factory, I think, like I said, the closest one is up in Myrtle Beach or maybe even Charlotte. They've got a Flying Gorilla cocktail. It's a 950-calorie alcoholic milkshake. There is the Loaded Sweet Potato at Texas Roadhouse. You might think you're getting a vegetable, but it's 770 calories for that one. The Cheesecake Factory's Pasta Napoletana comes in at 2,310 calories. And the worst thing, well, that's pretty bad. Buffalo Wild Wings has cheese curd bacon burger with fries for 1,900 calories. I don't want anything with the word curd in it. I'm just sorry. It's just off-putting to me. IHOP has a cheeseburger omelet with a side of pancakes for 1,990 calories. That is a diet buster right there. But, hey, go for it.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Some people call it Tarpageddon. I'm calling it Tarpgate. Tarpgate 2017. South Carolina Transportation Commissioner Robbie Robbins, whose district includes the bridge over there, the Don Holt, says it's important for you to know that officials did take action to fix that loose tarp after they got some reports about it several days before the thing let go and fell on some cars there on the bridge. He said the problem that was reported was addressed and addressed appropriately. He reminded you, the public, that the investigation continues. Listen to this statement. Let the engineering professionals and insurance agency do their job. Let the insurance, I think really we're looking at more of the insurance agency. They're trying to, because they're going to have to pay some money for this thing. First of all, we had several cars damaged. There were some people that were traumatized. I'm sure there's several lawsuits. I bet lawyers were just lining up. I bet they were at the other side of that bridge. They were there, the other side of that bridge. They were there probably before the news was. Before Channel 2, News 2 got there with their live van, the lawyers were probably there. They probably have some mobile action team that they deploy in cases like this. So, I will guarantee you the insurance company is going to be doing their investigation of this thing. So here's how it went down. Authorities were first made aware that there might be a problem on the bridge back on July 16th. That was a Sunday. That afternoon, the Traffic Management Center got a call from a South Carolina Highway Patrol dispatcher about a loose tarp on the bridge. 4 911 calls came in warning authorities about the possible tarp collapse, concerned that it would cause a serious crash. Well, yeah, we would worry about that. So 4911, let's see, then a State Highway Emergency Patrol unit was sent to the bridge, and the operator reported that no problems were impacting traffic. No, not yet. It wasn't at that time impacting traffic. So you have to, you know, be a little forward thinking there and say it might be something, an issue to come along with, Later on July 16th, employees of the contractor who was working on the bridge, Eagle Industrial Painting, they secured that loose tarp, and a DOT inspector verified that the corrective action had been taken. This is according to a report that was put out yesterday. The tarp, the netting, the cables were all part of a paint containment system that made up a floor section under the truss. The netting is used as a work platform for painters. It was secured to the bridge by cables and a tarp underneath to keep debris off the roadway. The roofing system was suspended above the truss. It was made up of the tarp with the support. So they say they did everything that they needed to do to get this thing secured. And then, of course, we had that storm come through, 60-mile-an-hour winds, and it tore that tarp. I don't want to be on that bridge at 60-mile-an-hour winds. I really don't. That's scary. So the crew started to work to clear the bridge. We all know what happened there. So they're basically saying we did everything right, which is exactly what the insurance company is going to say. Hey, we did everything right. No need to sue us. No need. Don't look here. Don't worry about that. We did everything that we were supposed to do. And we'll find out. We'll find out, because I'm sure that, like I said, there were plenty of lawyers lined up on the other side of the bridge just waiting to talk to these poor, traumatized people who were caught under that tarp.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
10 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. David is out in Somerville. He's a lawyer, takes exception over my comments a couple of minutes ago. David, did I hurt your feelings?
Well, no, you didn't hurt my feelings.
Okay.
But I do feel an obligation to correct the record.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer.
Yeah,
I'm a lawyer. I'm an injury lawyer. I work for the largest personal injury firm in the state. I think the best personal injury firm in the state. We didn't go wait at the bridge. I don't know anybody who went and waited at the bridge. And as far as I know, we're a big firm, so something could have gotten by me. But as far as I know, we haven't had a call about the bridge.
You have not had a single call about the bridge. So you're
not
saying, all right, well, we'll find out. I guess only time will tell if somebody's going to file a personal injury law claim. Now, I know that they're going to be filing claims with their insurance companies for the damage to their cars. I know that's going to happen.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
And as they well should. I mean, you pay for insurance. These guys are driving along. They didn't mean for the bridge to fall down on them, so it's not their fault their car's bashed.
Right,
up.
And the insurance company should pay for that. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not going to be their insurance companies. Isn't it going to be the DOT's insurance that pays for it?
I would guess that the insurance reserve fund would eventually pay for that. I would think the automobile insurance companies will pay and then subrogate back against the IRF.
Okay. All right, so what else you got for me this morning? What about the DOT? What is their responsibility here?
Well, as I'm listening to you, I mean, it just occurs to me every time DOT is involved, there's some screw up, and it's never their fault. And I think it's time to quit worrying about paying more taxes and quit worrying about who's suing who, and just take a look at DOT. DOT, for whatever reason, just seems to always be near the heart of roadway mishap and roadway neglect.
Well, I agree to you. I mean, because, I mean, even if DOT hired this contractor to come in and they're doing the painting on the bridge, isn't DOT, isn't it ultimately that falls under their responsibility, right? It's like if you are, you know, if we have a, you know, we're doing some construction here at our studios here at the radio station. If one of our contractors had messed up and somebody got hurt, then ultimately wouldn't the company, our radio station, be ultimately responsible for that, right?
Well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, it depends on if the radio station had some sort of negligence, mm-hmm. some sort of foreseeability wherein, you know, I guess if you brought in a rookie electrician to do some very high-end electric work,
right.
then the station might be responsible for why didn't you hire somebody that was up to the task.
Mm-hmm.
With DOD, when do they hire people that are up to the task?
Right. Well, we can certainly, all you got to do is drive down Clements Ferry Road and see what's going on with that and understand that maybe we don't have the best people doing the job.
No, I mean, how is it we pay all this tax money, DOT has all this budget, and they can't ever fix the roads? Going all the way back to Floyd, they can't figure out mm-hmm. how to open up both lanes and let everybody out of Charleston. We had people literally perish out on 26, you know, waiting for the other lanes to open. They never got it to happen. It just seems like whenever DOT is involved or partially involved, or whenever it's a roads issue in South Carolina, that their efforts continually fall flat. Somebody needs to have a hard look at what's going on at DOT.
Oh, absolutely. We've been saying that for a while. David, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Thank you very much. It's about 6 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Listen to this headline. All right, you ready for this? This is interesting here. Here's how it reads. All right, you ready? This is verbatim. This is the headline. White House says Russia sanctions bill that ties Trump's hands is undergoing legal review. That's the headline. In other words, what's going on here? Oh, look at President Trump. He is once again siding with the Russians on this thing. So the House or the Senate sent a bill to the president about sanctions against Russia. And here's what basically they added in the bill that was so unusual. Now, this was, and kind of try to put yourself in the president's shoes here. They send a bill to the president about sanctions against Russia, Iran, and I believe North Korea. And they said, and you can't do anything about it. You have to have congressional approval if you're going to change any of these sanctions that we are sending to you. Oh, okay. Well, what about the separation of powers? Hell, I don't blame the president for looking at this. Because when's the last time that you think Obama got sent a bill where Congress was saying, and there's nothing you can do about it? That's the thing. That's basically what the bill said. And there's nothing you can do about it without our approval. So basically taking the separation of powers out of the president's hand. But I just thought that was an extremely interesting headline, as they're just, you know, the media is just still trying to come up with some sort of collusion theory with the president and Russia or Iran or North Korea and taking the power of the presidency away. And again, that's what they want to do. They do not want a strong president because they want to be in charge. They want to be in charge. And it's like I gave you the example of the weak mayor, strong mayor scenario that a lot of communities have, where you have the mayor is just a glorified council member. That's what they want with the president. They just want to make him a glorified member of Congress and nothing more than that. So they're trying to keep this ridiculous theory going that the president is siding with Russia. Well, right now, it doesn't look like the United States and Russia are on all that friendly of terms. But I think the media is overlooking some actual stories out there that they need to be covering. And we got a list of them right here. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the shady IT guy. Media's not covering that. You're not seeing that. There's a Democrat mayor been charged with pay for play. Two Democrat mayors were indicted on July 26 by the FBI. Did you hear anything about that? No, you didn't hear. How about this Democrat, sitting Congressman Robert Brady, under FBI investigation for paying his challenger $90,000 to drop out of the Democrat primary? Did you see that on CNN? How about this Democrat who was sent to prison for racketeering? Congressman Chaka Fatah started a 10-year prison sentence on racketeering. Democrats are accused of abusing children. Ed Murray, sitting mayor of Seattle, ended his campaign for a second term after allegations surface of child sexual abuse. How about this corruption scandal in the DNC National Committee? How about the DNC being sued for unpaid wages? How about this Corinne Brown, congressman, since 1993, she was convicted of pocketing hundreds of thousands of dollars through a phony charity. No word on that. How about that? How about this sitting Democrat, Bob Menendez? He's exhausted his final appeal at the Supreme Court. He's going to go to trial for bribery charges. This is a sitting U.S. senator. Moreover, this is a sitting U.S. senator from New Jersey. And the media not covering any of it. Not a lick of it. They want to concentrate on President Trump and keep carrying water for the Democrats. That's all they want to do. The mainstream media is just another PR arm of the DNC.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
North Korea. Man, you're not going to believe this story. As we told you earlier this week, this past weekend, North Korea launched an ICBM missile that traveled for about 45 minutes. It had basically an upward trajectory, but if this had been on a military-type trajectory, then it could have reached into Denver. Into Denver. And this is a very scary thing. Well, this thing gets a little more scary when you hear about this story. This is kind of frightening. Commercial airliner flew past the location where North Korea and their recent intercontinental ballistic missile would land in the Sea of Japan less than 10 minutes later. So you had the missile basically coming within 10 minutes of striking a commercial airliner. It was Air France Flight 293. It was traveling from Tokyo to Paris, had 323 people on board. The plane's flight path shows that the Boeing 777 traveled west of Hokkaido as the North Korean ICBM was airborne. Now, the Japanese Defense Ministry said that the ICBM landed about 93 miles northwest of Okeechobee Island, in Japan. So in a statement, Air France said that North Korea's missile test zones don't interfere in any way with Air France's flight plans. The flight was operated without any reported incident. However, that is pretty scary, and the Pentagon is expressing concern over the potential danger that a missile could pose to commercial aircraft in the region. North Korea had this to say.
Did you die?
No.
But did you die?
No, nobody died, but still, you had an ICBM missile that came within 10 minutes of a commercial airliner. And I'm sure that those folks out there over there in North Korea didn't do any research to see any potential flight paths of commercial airliners in that area. That's a very scary situation. I don't think it's really getting quite enough attention from the mainstream media because they are more concentrated on, you know, getting rid of President Trump. That's their whole itinerary right there. So I think we really need to start concentrating more on North Korea. This ICBM that could be fitted with a nuclear warhead flew for 45 minutes. That is a long time 45 minutes, especially when you're talking about ICBMs. It's absolutely amazing. And, oh, wait a minute. Hold on. That's the hotline. WTMA, good morning.
Well, good morning, Charlie. This here is Bill Clinton. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine as frogs
good,
here.
Good.
Hey, look, I was just listening to you. Did you say that Kim Jong-un was able to keep that rocket up in the air for 45 minutes?
Yeah, that's right. 45 minutes.
I tell you what, it's been a long time since I've been able to do something like that.
like the 90s, right?
If you want to really take care of this whole problem over there in North Korea with their missile system, you send Hillary over there in a flannel 90.
Right.
I tell you what, ain't nothing going up.
I gotta go.
She's at the door.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
21 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. On your Wednesday morning, the second day of August, let's go to Hanahan and talk to Steve. Steve, what do you think about that tarp out on the Don Holt?
Well, Charlie, you know, you had a discussion with an attorney before the break.
Yeah.
And I hope he's listening. And, you know, he's right. Attorneys don't have to chase ambulances anymore because they advertise. You know, there was a time.
You couldn't.
When attorneys and lawyers.
Right.
Excuse me, attorneys and doctors. Didn't advertise on TV.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when they started, some attorneys thought it was unethical. I didn't share that view. I didn't care, you know. I mean, and I intend no malice towards that attorney that called his profession or his firm. And he said he worked for the biggest firm in the state, and I can maybe guess who that is. There's a local firm that has very professional commercials, and that firm actually has offices in other towns across the state. And maybe that's it. I don't know. Now, I do know of some commercials that aren't very professional, and there's a guy that you're supposed to call before you scream.
there's a lot of those guys out there. Yeah,
the commercial, actually, I was on the couch with my wife, and he said, I got a client over $100,000 because somebody pulled into his lane.
Right, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
I said, hey, that happens to me every day.
Every single day. I'm going to start suing.
I said, that's it. Somebody pulled in his lane. Hey, I'm collecting big money. I'm going to this guy, buddy.
But I'm going to start suing some of these bicycle riders out there.
Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, back to the tarp issue. I'm back to any personal injury case. And here's my question, and I think this is a valid question for that attorney or any attorney, personal injury attorney. All right. Now, we know that it's almost like an industry now. There's a lot of advertising going on, and people are quick to rush to personal injury law. That's okay. If you're injured, go. And that attorney went to school a long time. He's got a job to do. He's supposed to represent his client to the best of his ability. But here's the deal. We wonder, as a general public, you do, if insurance companies – I wonder how many times he has to go to court, what percentage of time he has to actually go to court. I think insurance
companies – well, that's the last thing they want to do.
Yeah, I think insurance companies are more apt to cave in to settlements.
Oh yeah,
to stay out of court.
Oh, absolutely.
And how does that impact my premiums and your premiums?
Oh, it impacts it in a huge amount because the last thing that they always find it cheaper to settle out of court. I was called to jury duty a couple of years ago, and I was kind of surprised because we were sitting there and the judge was talking to all of us that were in the pool there. And he said, we got about 100 cases on the docket.
Yep.
And by the time that he had finished giving the instructions to us, it was down to 5 cases. Because the clerk kept coming in and saying, all right, this has been settled, this has been settled, this has been settled. And then after that, guess how many cases actually went to trial? Zero.
Oh, man.
Zero went to trial.
And I wonder how many cases may have been frivolous. But insurance companies know, do we really want to commit our team of attorneys to go down to Charleston and fight this case?
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Settle? And again, I intend no malice towards that guy. I mean, I really don't. And his attitude may be say, well, that's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got to represent my client. But you're right. I think it does maybe contribute to an increase in our premiums, and we're paying for all that. And I don't know. It's just one of those crazy situations we have to deal with. But again, I think it's a valid question.
Oh, absolutely. Steve, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. The insurance companies would rather, because once you get to court, Now you've got a lot of fees that are going to be starting to pile up, and they just don't want to pay it. So it would be more, let's say, fiscally responsible in a lot of cases for these insurance companies to just go ahead and settle and move along your way. You know, everybody talks about that woman that got burned by the McDonald's coffee. You remember that case several years ago, many years ago now. This woman was very badly burned when she opened up. The lid fell off of her McDonald's coffee, fell into her lap, and burned her. And everybody was talking about, oh, this woman got to make $1 million because she spilled a cup of coffee. Well, we didn't really hear about the details of that trial because the insurance people and the lawyers for McDonald's tried to vilify this woman. The only thing that this woman wanted was for them to cover her medical expenses. That's all she wanted. And they said, nope, we would rather drag you through the mud with a PR campaign. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to smear you completely. Now, this woman suffered third-degree burns because it was found out that McDonald's was serving their coffee at about 209 degrees. 209 degrees. Water boils at 212. So this is almost boiling water. And it fell into her lap, and she was burned severely, into the fact where she had to have skin grafts and physical therapy. And literally, they say she could have died because of it. That's how bad her burns were. And I had a friend of mine that I was working with. Same thing happened to her. She didn't sue, but she showed me the blisters that she had on her thigh from spilling this coffee in her lap. And instead of the insurance company or instead of McDonald's just coming along and saying, wow, yeah, all right, well, maybe our coffee is a little bit too hot. Instead of admitting guilt at that point and rectifying the situation, they took it upon themselves to drag this woman's name through the mud. You know, here's this woman. She's suing. She spilled her coffee, and she's suing for $1 million. Hell, she should have sued for $1 million. She should have sued for more than that. But that case never went to court. It was settled, and I think it was settled for about $600,000. So it wasn't even $1 million that this woman got for damages. But the only reason that she decided to even take it to court was because McDonald's wouldn't just come up and say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, 209 degrees is probably a little hot to be serving coffee. We're sorry about that, ma'am. We'll pay for your, and could have kept it completely out of the news. She didn't want to be famous. She didn't want $600,000. She didn't want $1 million. She just wanted them to pay for her injuries. Oh, and by the way, the lid that came off of the coffee wasn't secured properly. And, you know, they tried to make it sound like she was driving down the road. She was driving and drinking the coffee. No, none of that was true. None of that was true. She was sitting in the passenger seat. The car wasn't moving. And the folks, the lawyers from McDonald's and the insurance company, they all got together and they said, listen, we're gonna go on this campaign of personal assault against this woman and drag her name through the mud and make this sound like a frivolous lawsuit. Well, it wasn't a frivolous lawsuit. It was a very serious lawsuit, and she suffered very serious damages. 29 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to Kevin real quick. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's up?
I just wanted to talk. I own a small company, and I have been sued numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
And then many times fraudulently by employees claiming injuries after they've been terminated.
Really?
Insurance companies settle with them.
Right.
And then they call me and I go, what's going on with this case? And they'll be like, we settled. And I'm like, who's we? You represent me. I haven't settled with anybody. Oh, it's over. Don't worry about it.
Right. And how much do your premiums go up when that happens?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I tell them. It's a game. I'm the one that pays in the end. My premiums go up, so I lose all the way around. So you didn't represent me at all.
That's right. I agree.
Yourself.
I agree. That's why, Kevin, I appreciate you calling in. That's why we're seeing a serious drop in OBGYN doctors, doctors that actually deliver babies, there has been a huge drop in those over the past years just because of the amount of lawsuits that they're subject to.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:41, 19 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. Glad to have you along with us. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. It's time for our police file, where we highlight the good deeds and actions of local law enforcement. And this morning, we are talking with Miriam Walker. She is a victims advocate with the Charleston Police Department. Good morning, Ms. Walker. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us on the program. Now, coming up, we've got the second annual Empowerment Day.
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about this, because in the flyer it says it is for embracing the Hispanic community and all victims of crime. This is the second annual. How many people did we have last year for the Empowerment Day?
I believe we had about over, maybe a little over 100 individuals, mm-hmm. and that was because that was our first annual.
Right, sure.
Yes, sir.
So how many were you expecting? We're probably expecting a little bigger crowd this year.
Well, this year we expect a little more. We have invited nonprofit agencies, new agencies, that maybe are not able to get out as often and reach a huge population. Mm-hmm. And those are nonprofit agencies such as BACA, and that stands for Bikers Against Child Abuse.
Right.
I have Our Lady of Mercy coming, Department of Mental Health, and Father to Father, and BabyNet. We have over 30 agencies coming that are scheduled to come out, and this collaboration is for all. We are hoping that many will come out. We have all of this is free pretty much for
right.
the community, and it's just to reach out to our community in Johns Island and also the Tri-County and letting them know that there are agencies out there that assist victims of crime.
Right now, it's coming up September the 2nd at Johns Island Park from 11 until 2. There's going to be free food, hot dogs, popcorn, jump castles, an exhibition soccer game.
Yes,
but other than all of the festivities, you're also trying to let people know that they do have a voice as far as violent crime is concerned, right?
Yes, sir. As victim advocates, we're dedicated and we are trained to support victims of crime. We mm-hmm. we support them through emotional support, assisting them in finding resources. We assist them also in going to court, because going to court alone, it could be very difficult for
oh, sure.
an individual.
Sure.
And that is what we do as well. We work alongside of our police force as well. And we do support our victims, and this is one way of supporting by letting them know what's out there for them, the resources that they can know about.
Right, there's somebody there for them. Now, I'm looking on the City of Charleston website about the Victim Witness Services Program, which you are involved in, some of the key things for victims: know you are not alone, you have rights, and there are resources to help you, and that's where you come in, right?
Yes, sir. As soon as an incident report comes into our office, it is assigned. We have four advocates here, victim advocates.
Mm-hmm.
We have a child advocate, victim advocate. We have an elder victim advocate, and we have two adult victim advocates. And what we do is we make sure that no victim, whether you're elderly or you're a child, is left behind by not knowing, not letting them know their rights.
Right.
So it's from the moment that the incident happens, the next day, we are right on it, assisting those victims.
So, and again, I guess the biggest thing is just to let people know that you're not alone. You do have an advocate, and you do have somebody that's going to stand, mainly listen to you and stand by your side through the process, right?
Yes, sir. The reason why we're doing this Empowerment Day is because many don't know that, for example, we are collaborating with the Charleston Sheriff's Office.
Mm-hmm.
They also have victim advocates.
Right.
And many don't know that victim advocates exist to support them, to stand by them, to sit by them in court. So much easier for them to go through through what they have to go through in court, facing the offender. So we are there for them, and that's what we want to mainly get out, that victim advocates exist, and we're there for them, and we'll sit right by them. One thing that I do want to say is that mm-hmm. advocates offer victims information about the different options available to them.
Right.
And support victims' decision-making. But one thing I do want to say is that advocates do not tell victims what to do.
Right.
So we are there for them, and we will support them in any manner they wish.
All right. It's the second annual Empowerment Day going on September the 2nd at Johns Island Park from 11 until 2.
Yes.
Ms. Miriam Walker, we appreciate you being on the program this morning.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a great day. I want to say another shout-out to a local police officer. This from North Charleston. She's being recognized in a pretty big way on Facebook after she posted a photo showing her helping a woman who spends her days under the bridge. The officer's name is Martha Lones. She has been working as a police officer in North Charleston since September. She moved into the area because she said she enjoys working in more challenging neighborhoods. It's a great picture of her just talking with this woman. And a lot of times, that's what it takes. That's what it takes. So, way to go, Martha Lones. We appreciate all you and all the fine work that our law enforcement does.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Little girls dream of their wedding day, don't they? I mean, you see them. They put the, they maybe go get the curtains and put them over their head, and they're the bride, and they're carrying around a little bouquet, and they're, you know, they're all nice, and they plan their weddings and all of that. And it's one of those days that they dream of. It's going to be perfect. It's their day. That wedding day is. Well, there is this young woman in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Kate Elizabeth Pritchard. Oh, it was a perfect day. She was there with her wedding dress. Unfortunately, she spent her wedding night in jail. That's right. That's right. Sergeant Kyle Evans with the Murfreesboro Police Department said officers made an arrest, and they arrested her after responding to a very unusual call from the Clarion Inn Motel there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. When they arrived, they found the bride, Miss Pritchard, and her new husband arguing. It was just a few hours after they were married. They said they were both uncooperative with authorities. It was a witness that actually pointed us in the right direction. That witness told police that the couple had been drinking, surprise, surprise, and arguing outside the motel. Things escalated, and what Pritchard did allegedly shocked everyone because you don't expect a bride to do something like this. She pulled up her wedding dress and took out a 9mm pistol. She pointed it at her new husband's head and she pulled the trigger. That's right. Now, the gun didn't discharge. There was no bullet in the chamber. But then witnesses told police that Pritchard, the blushing bride, then racked around in the chamber and fired a shot in the air, causing everybody to run from the scene. Police got there. They started questioning the newlyweds, who said, nothing was wrong. nothing to see here, officer. This happens all the time, apparently. But after talking to witnesses, police did recover a shell casing and found what they believed to be Pritchard's weapon. After the incident, Pritchard went to the bathroom and disposed of the weapon. They said she's charged with aggravated domestic assault. She posted $15,000 bond, and it's uncertain whether the marriage will survive this ordeal. Can I take a moment to address the groom? I hope you didn't consummate that wedding. I hope you didn't consummate the marriage, and I hope that you can get it annulled as quickly as possible. Run, my friend. Run. Run far. Run fast. Because, well, it's obvious, you know, something like this wasn't the first time that happened. There's nothing wrong here. Nothing to see here, officer. Move along. It wasn't loaded. It wasn't like the gun was loaded. You pull a gun out and point it at you. Okay. All right. We all know that Kathy Griffin had a really bad time after she posted that picture on of her holding up the mock severed head of President Donald Trump. And oh boy, that caused a huge backlash. You remember that press conference that she had after the ordeal where she was there. He broke me. He broke me. He's trying to destroy me. Blah, 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 blah. Well, apparently she needed some good publicity. So she did what any, I guess she took the Britney Spears way out. She shaved her head. That's right. That's right. I'm telling the truth. Kathy Griffin has now shaved her head. I guess she needs all the publicity she can get now. Because her sister, she says she did it to support her sister, who is battling cancer. Now, this writer, Yashar Ali, tweeted the photo on Monday saying that Griffin's sister, Kathleen, is now going through chemotherapy. So, Kathy Griffin has shaved her head. She has also said, Ali also suggested that people donate to the American Cancer Society. We haven't heard a whole lot from Kathy Griffin since that Secret Service probe into her wrapped up, but apparently, again, she needed some good publicity out there. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. We are expecting some rain over the next couple of days, and it's going to be starting when? It was on Friday, I think, and I think a lot of this has to do with the possibility of I think it's a tropical depression now, Emily, bringing a little bit of weather our way, but they're saying it's because of the Madden-Julian oscillation. I knew that's what it was. I said, it's like I told Sheila the other night. I said, it feels like we're having a Madden-Julian oscillation out there. Well, it's wobbling in the Atlantic Basin, and that could mean trouble over the next few weeks, according to hurricane researchers. The oscillation is a fluctuation in tropical weather that stirs up thunderstorms. If the weather's hot enough, those storms can strengthen into tropical cyclones, and it tends to work its way around the globe and has helped wreak havoc in the Pacific, where tropical cyclones have been popping up with greater frequency over the past couple of weeks, although none have really affected the United States yet. So, I tell you what, I do. I love me a good Madden-Julian oscillation. I really do. I look forward to those things coming by every now and then. In fact, I have big Madden-Julian oscillation parties sometime. Well, we'll be having a big one this weekend at the house, inviting some friends over, wearing our Madden-Julian oscillation costumes and drinking our big glasses of Madden-Julian oscillation punch.